Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
Go ahead and take a seat. You know, this is our special birthday offering. In fact, I just want to just share with you, for some of you that may not have heard this last week, I hadn't really been able to get into this miracle birthday offering. I looked at the economy and I said, it's pretty bad. People are losing their homes. Jobs are in desperate need of people not having work. We're in a time that's really a great recession. We're in a city that's just hard hit by this recession, harder than most cities. And I told my staff at the beginning of the year that I probably wouldn't be doing a miracle birthday offering. And then we were barraged with testimonies of people who had given into last year's miracle birthday offering with a whole heart and really found themselves blessed. The miracle was also for the church, but it was really a miracle in their life. And that changed us around to making a statement that we said, okay, in the midst of all the problems and pressures, we'll do that. We'll go ahead and we'll just have that miracle birthday offering. I really couldn't get into it. I just couldn't get there until last week, until God spoke to me. And God spoke to me last week and He made this statement to me. He said, if the people will really get involved in paying off my house, I will really get involved in paying off their house. And I was just stunned by the statement. And I started to proclaim that last week. And I even, you know, preface it with this, that if you didn't believe me, it's okay. But God spoke to me. You don't have to do anything, but God spoke to me. And I knew this, that this was so important about paying off this Rock Church and World Outreach Center. It's about a $45 million building that God built with nothing. We owe $13 million on the $45 million building. We've been good stewards. But there's a lending institution that is every 5 years requiring a brand new loan. Every 5 years they say we can call the note if we want to, and if you don't pay, then you're out. It's not a 30-year note like yours. It's very high interest. We spend every 30 days $85,000+ just on a mortgage payment in this house. I thought to myself as God was speaking to me how much we could do with $85,000 extra a month. How many missionaries could we help out? How many people could we feed? How many trucks could we buy to go get food in Los Angeles and bring it back to the Inland Empire? How many people could we help out and bless with $85,000 every 30 days? And I just saw the vision that God wanted us to take a 3-year period of time and zero in on paying off this church. Doesn't sound very exciting, but it's very exciting. Someone said to me, last service at the door, here's what someone came up to me and said. He says, I'm so proud to be in this church. The government is putting the burden of expenses on the next generation. They're going to carry such a debt load, but this church is not going to pass the debt load on to the next generation. And that went off on the inside of me like you can't imagine, as righteousness as what God would have for us to do. And I really make the statement, and I'll say it again, God makes this statement that if you'll get involved, really get involved into His house, He'll really get involved in your house. If you'll pay off His house, He'll work at paying off your house. And that's why these little buttons, you can see them right up here on there. Each one of you will get one when you leave. Wear it as just a point of contact, as a place of remembrance of what we're standing for as a church. That we're going to pay this house off. Not only for the generation that we're in right now so we can do greater things, but for the generations that go past us. Every great church in America that's been there for years, somebody was called to build it and someone was called by God to pay it off. And that question is, of course, you. Where you're at and how you can do this. I want to make a statement to you found in Matthew, the 10th chapter, verse 41. Because when God spoke to me and I spoke to you, even though I'm a pastor, when I convey what God speaks to me to you, that's a prophetic utterance. That's what the word prophetic means. You're speaking the oracles of God. And we find in the Matthew, the 10th chapter, verse 41, just pop it up on the overhead for me. He who receives a prophet in the name of the prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of the righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. I have prophetically spoken to you about God is going to do something if you will really get involved in the paying off of this house. God will really get involved in the paying off of your house. Debbie questioned me about it yesterday when we were having coffee. She said, did you really hear from God? And I said, Deborah, you know me after all these years. If I've ever heard from God on anything, and if you've been around here for the decades that we've been here, you have seen, you have heard with your own very eyes a move of God so many times. I've heard from God. I've heard from God now more than I've ever heard from God. I'm as convinced as I could possibly be. And these verses just jumped out at us this morning, that morning, and it said, he who receives a prophet in the name of the prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. You see the word he who? Those two words, he who means anybody. Anybody who will receive the prophet and what he has to say as real. That means you, me, anybody that's in here. You don't have to do this at all. But anybody that will have ears to hear, that hears and takes it seriously, something's going to happen. He who receives a prophet in the name of the prophet. You see the word receives up there. The word receives means to take in. And we have a concept that, like the widow women in the Old Testament that took in the prophet Elijah or the prophet Elisha, brought them into their house and ministered to them, that they received the prophet's reward. But that's not just what it's talking about. It's talking about when a word of God is spoken to you in a prophetic manner like we just heard, that if you'll receive it into your life and take it seriously, you, in the name of the prophet, shall receive the prophet's reward. And when we were talking about this, the word of God just jumped out all over us. And I said to Deborah, I said, what's the reward of the prophet? Have you ever thought about that? What is a prophet's reward? What does a prophet want? Does he want a new car? Does he want a new house? Does he want a wristwatch? Does he? What does a prophet, what does a man of God that is tied to God really want? What is the reward he's going to get? And that same reward is what you're going to get when you receive what he says. So what is his reward? And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said these words. The reward of the prophet is God backing his word. And when God backs his word, that's the reward of the prophet. In other words, when the word goes out and you receive it and you believe it as if it's yours and you really get involved in it, then the reward you get is that God that spoke through that person comes to you, and now the reward is he will back his word to you. And that is bizarre, my friends, because no one has ever been able to tell you what a prophet's reward is until just now. I want to take you to 1 Chronicles in the 29th chapter. David is speaking. Starting in verse number 1 of 1 Chronicles, the 29th chapter. I want to talk to you because here we find they're going to build and add to the house of God. It describes some things about how you and I are to do this. If we're just going to hear, but we're going to do it a certain way, we're going to have an understanding about doing things the right way. Listen closely to what I'm going to say to you. I'm not here to manipulate you. I'm not here to get you to move. I'm not here to stimulate you. I'm not here to pull the wool over your eyes. I'm not here to be a liar or a cheater before God. I'm going to meet God. Listen to me. I'm in my last part of my 60s. I'm going to meet God sooner than most people in this room. And I want you to know something. I'm not messing with God. And I'm not here to be a manipulator at all. I'm just telling you like it is. There are certain right ways to do things, and there are wrong ways to do things. And if you're going to do what God would have you to do, you ought to do it the right way. Somebody ought to say amen. And God tells us in 1 Chronicles, verse number 1, David is speaking, says, furthermore, David, King David, said to all the assembly, my son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great. I want you to know something. It's a great work that's ahead of us, and you may be young, and you may be inexperienced, but it's not your ability or your wisdom that's going to make this happen. It's going to happen because God is in the house, and God is in your heart. It's not about how cool you are that makes this work. It's about whether or not you can trust God for doing great and mighty things. And he says, and because the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. You know, my friends, listen to me what I'm going to say to you, brothers and sisters. This house is for us. We come together, we get blessed, our families get changed. We become healthy believers, strong believers. When the winds of life blow, we don't blow over, fall over, and leave. We get stronger and healthier all the time. Because why? We're learning this house has been good for us. But I want you to hear something. It's not just about us. The house is for God. And this is where God wants us to come and assemble. It's where God wants to launch his ideas and thoughts and heartbeat. It's where God wants to take his character and expression and bring it forth to a lost and dying world of his son, Jesus Christ, as you just saw right before your eyes. Verse number 2 comes along and makes this statement. Now for the house of my God, I have prepared with all of my might. Those are powerful words. I have prepared with all of my might. You've got to really get into this. This is not just something you throw $5 at and say, I got involved. God, now get involved in my house. This is not something you just half-heartedly do because everybody next to you is doing something. This is something that you have prepared with all of your might. You have gotten your heart involved in it, and you're not giving up until it gets done. And it's going to take us a long period of time. And those of you that are approaching this saying, I'm going to put some money into God, and God, like a slot machine in the sky, is going to pull the handle and he's going to return the money. I want you to know something. God is not a big slot machine in the sky. That's not the way it is. God looks at our hearts. We prepare ourselves with all of our might to do this. We are determined. We are got our eyes fixed. We are focused on the things of the Lord, and we're not giving up. We're not backing off. It's going to be that we're going to do what God would have us to do, and we're going to see the benefit of a house paid off free and clear. And that's why I made the statement, those of you that will really get involved in this, not just mentally for a weekend, but really get involved, God will really get involved in your future. And that's the key to this. He goes on, I've prepared the gold and the silver and the bronze and the onyx and different things. But I like verse number 3, moreover, because I have set my affections on the house of my God. You got to be in love with this place. I have given to the house of my God. In other words, because I'm in love with this place, I'm putting it before my own place. And then God will take my place and take care of it. Moreover, because I have set my affections on the house of my God, I have given to the house of God. Over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, my own special offering from gold, silver, and it talks about all of that. Jump down to verse number 6, and the leaders of the father's house, leaders of the tribes of Israel, captains, thousands and hundreds, and with the officers over the king's work, offered, I love these words, willingly. You can't offer because some preacher coerces you to do it. You can't bring an offering because somebody's stimulated you to do it. Come on, church, don't ever let anybody do that to you. You give an offering to God because you are willingly loving His house, wanting to see it take place. It's a willing offering to God, and my heart is in it. Not because I'm emotionally moved by some gifted preacher. That's the wrong way to give. But willingly offering to the Lord, it's the right thing, it's a good thing, it's a healthy thing. It's for the generations. It's for the future. It's for now. It's for the saving. When everything else is falling apart, our church stands strong. That's what this is all about. Verse number 7 comes along and makes this statement, and they gave for the work of the house of the Lord, and they gave a ton. Verse number 8 and says, and whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord. Sometimes it's not money to give. Sometimes you got to stop and evaluate where you're at. We Americans have storehouses of stuff. We have trailers we haven't used and driven in years. We got boats sitting around and motors that haven't even been started. We got old motorcycles, and we've got guitars, and we've got all kinds of stuff hanging around. We got so much junk. This is the only nation in the world that has to rent storage to house their junk. Some of you need to get out there and sell it and bring it into the house of God. To pay off the house. We got stuff sitting around that does nothing but collect dust. They had gold and silver, but they also had precious stones. And the word whoever means everybody. Verse number 9, and the people rejoiced. Why did they rejoice? For they had offered willingly. You get happy when you're a willing giver, not when you're a coerced giver. Because with a loyal heart, there's that loyal heart again. They offered willingly to the Lord. And King David also rejoiced greatly. Three times we hear the words offered willingly. Offered willingly. Offered willingly. The last point I want to point out is verse 14. David says, I have come, I've brought you everything. And then he really identifies what he brought. Last part of that verse says, for all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. In other words, we're just giving back to God what's God's. He has it all. He owns it all. Everything you have right now, He's got. And you're just giving it back to Him. That's what it's all about. And when you do, He can trust you for the more. And God will do great things. Is anybody listening?
Well, again, my husband has said it all, and he's asked me to just come and make a few comments in the few moments that are left, so let me do that. When Jim did tell me about this miracle birthday offering and about the house, and you give to my house and I'll take care of your house, I did challenge him. I have challenged him for 23 years on many things. If you look at these pictures, this is 23 years in snapshots. And if you look over here, that's us at the beginning. You can see how young we were, and we both had more hair. So this has been quite a journey. We never felt qualified to be pastors of this church, and we never dreamed that when we started this church with 12 people 23 years ago, that it would grow into this magnificent family. And that it would flourish and it would be all over the world. We did not dream that. We know how much grace is on us to pastor this church. Because we know of all people we are the most foolish. And so I challenged him. And when he said that to me about hearing from God, I live with this man. day in and day out. We're together 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I know he's a righteous man. And I know my husband is an honest man. And I do know that Jim and I are going to stand before the throne of God, along with the elders of this church, and we're going to give an account for how we watched over your souls. So this is extremely serious. And I want you to know that this is a holy offering. Every offering is a holy offering, but this particular miracle birthday offering is very holy. I don't know if there's holy and then very holy. Lord, is that all right for me to say that? But the reason is because he didn't want to do this, and neither did I. We have not seen the economy like this in our years. And we have seen and heard the testimonies of people walking away from their homes or losing their homes and losing their jobs. And we love you. And we did not want to put a burden on you, and we did not want to coerce you or have anything in your lives that would cause you pain. We are here to build you up and to strengthen you so you can go outside those doors and be the church. But then God spoke to us, and he reminded me specifically. He said, do you not think that Elijah, when I told him to leave the brook and go to the widow, do you not think that he was asking me what I was thinking? God sent Elijah the prophet to a widow at Zarephath, which was of the colony or the community of Zidon, which was where Jezebel's father ruled. So God sends Elijah to the enemy's camp. And then he sends Elijah to the enemy's camp to be fed by a woman who was collecting sticks to collect her last meal and feed her only son and die. Now, men, how would you feel asking somebody that's already starving to give you their last meal? That just goes against everything in a man, does it not? And that's what God did. And what was God saying? He was telling me, Debbie, I know the economy's bad, and you don't know what's coming. That's why I need my people to get on board and to understand that when they step into this holy offering, they have got to step into the supernatural. Because, you see, God needed to get that woman food so she could survive. He needed to feed his prophet so he could survive the drought. He chose to do it in the very land of the enemy, and he chose to do it with a woman that had no resources at all. And God has always chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God spoke to me and said, in the worst of conditions, I'm going to become the strongest you've ever seen me, but you're going to have to step into faith and believe me and do this in the supernatural. So when I got those orders from heaven, I said, yes, sir, because like I said to you, we will stand before God and we will give an account. So our responsibility, your responsibility, and this is what I want to just quickly say to you. We got the word from the pastor, the man of God, and I know he's a man of God. If you take care of my house, I will take care of your house. The responsibility. How are we to bring this offering? Jim's pretty much covered that, but let me just go to one more scripture so that you can see it with me. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul is writing and he's exhorting the church there. This is his second letter. They have already collected the offering, but he wants to make sure things are ready. And this is what he says. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. Not a grudging obligation. No one in this family needs to bring a miracle offering with a grudging obligation. Because if that's what's in your heart right now, you're not to do it. And there is no condemnation if you don't do this. But this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. And what the Lord is saying is where you're at in your life with God, give there. Give there. And if you're not there right now to give, don't beat yourself up. We are not wanting you to bring something that is going to cause you stress. However, Paul writes to the church and reminds them, God loves a cheerful giver. And remember, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. What is God saying? In the worst of times, it's the best of times to bring an offering in faith. In the worst of times, it is the best of times to bring an offering in faith. I'm not here to talk you into this. I am here to exhort you and let you search your own hearts where you're at with God. Jim upped our offering 7 times yesterday after I finished. And I had to step into the supernatural once again because we don't have it. We don't know where it's coming from. I can figure 1,000 ways out on how God can do something, but God does it the 1,001 ways that I've never even thought of because he's supernatural. Listen to me, church. Listen, family. Listen. Paying off this building is not, it's not a flick of asphalt off of heaven. Heaven's asphalt is pure gold. This is nothing for God to pay this church off. It is nothing. He speaks and galaxies are created. Come on. He's God. What this is about is exercising his people, like that little woman, to step into the supernatural in obedience and not fear and not with a grudging heart and not under compulsion because somebody's giving you a sob story and you just got to do it and after you do it, you're sorry. We don't want you to do that. But we do want you to check your heart with the Father. And if faith is beginning to rise in your heart, and if this is speaking to you, then get on board because there's a miracle behind this offering. It's going to pay off this church, and it's going to pay off our homes. He's promised us that. There was a generation that God assigned to build this church. We had no money when we built this church. No money. We had to raise $5 million. We laughed at that and said, oh, that's impossible. And then God got a hold of us and shook us around and said, stop that. You're the leaders. He slapped us around and we said, okay, it's possible. We got our heads on straight. And then we're in the construction of this building. And then the construction company came to us and said, well, you're $1 million short because of all these changes. And we went, ooh. And we said, okay, we've done this so far because faith was rising. We got $1 million together. And then 6 months later, $1 million. We didn't have it, but here it came. Why? Because it's faith that brings the invisible into the visible realm. If you look at yourself, if I look at me and I think about paying off $13 million, I will have a meltdown right in front of you. But if I look at him who creates heaven and earth, his asphalt is pure gold. His building materials are diamonds. He speaks and creates. If I look at him and he speaks to me and I step into obedience, then it's not my responsibility to produce it. It's my responsibility that as he gives it to me to give it. That's my responsibility. So are you ready for a miracle? Are you ready for faith? Because guess what? We are a kingdom within a kingdom. And I love this nation. I don't know where it's going, but I know where the kingdom's going. And I know there needs to be churches standing strong. There needs to be light shining everywhere. There needs to be a place that you can bring your people. There needs to be faith. There needs to be love. There needs to be hope. There needs to be joy. There needs to be the gospel going out and miracles and signs and wonders. And God has chosen this to be one of those houses. So are you the generation that he's picked to pay this building off? Yes. Only you and he can answer that question.
Hey, Deb, let's do this. And verse number 8 of that.
Oh, I forgot to do the
I know.
Rest of
let's them. Just, it's all right. Let's just do this one. Because everybody's familiar with this verse.
Yeah.
So let's pop it up, okay?
Okay?
Pop up verse 8. And it says, and God.
And God.
Is able.
To make all grace abound toward you.
That you always having all sufficiency
in
all
things may have an abundance
for every good work.
Let me just read it to you in the message. It's so amazing. Let me just quickly read this to you. As one psalmist puts it, this is the Message Bible. He, speaking of God, throws caution to the winds, giving to the needy in reckless abandon. His right living, right giving ways never run out, never wear out. This most generous God who gives to the farmer that which becomes bread for your meals is more than extravagant with you. He gives you something you can then give away, which grows into full-formed lives, robust in God, wealthy in every way, so that you can be generous in every way, producing with us the praise that belongs to God. He is extravagant, extravagant, and altogether lovely. And we just want you to know, we are desperately in love with you. This is not to bind you up. This is to let you be free.
Yes, yes, yes. Amen. And
we want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.